Last Wednesday, we commenced a new series in our midweek Bible study, a series in which we are going to consider God's wisdom for various ages and stages of life. Now, I've chosen to begin with our seniors, primarily because that's who the Apostle Paul begins with in Titus chapter 2. And if you have a Bible with you, it would be good to turn over there now. Titus chapter 2. Now in this chapter, the Apostle Paul told Titus what he was to teach various demographics within the churches on the island of Crete. And he began with the aged. Now last week I spent some time talking about who exactly Paul was referring to, and the conclusion I've come to, based upon the context, is that the term aged refers to anyone who is old enough to have raised children through to adulthood, anyone who is old enough to be a grandparent. So that's how you can work out whether these verses are addressed specifically to you. If you're old enough to be a grandparent, then you are among the aged. You are a senior. First of all, Paul talks about the aged men, and that's as far as we got last week. He then goes on to talk about the aged women, and this is what we're going to think about this evening. We're going to look at Titus chapter 2, verse 3, but as I did last week, I'd like to take our reading from verse 1 down to verse 8. So if you would, please follow along as I read aloud. Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, the aged women likewise, that they may be in behaviour as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. In verse 3, Paul tells Titus that he is to teach the aged women four things. And really, when we look closely at these four things, there is really one general characteristic or general virtue followed by three specific applications. Perhaps we can think of it like this. An aged woman whose behaviour is as becometh holiness will not be a false accuser, will not be given to much wine, and will be a teacher of good things. Now I'll talk a little bit about why Paul might have mentioned these three specific areas as we come to them. But I want to begin by saying that this is a really interesting verse. And it is so for a couple of reasons. Reason number one. If you were instructing a pastor as to what he should teach the older women in his congregation, are these the things that you would think of? Are these the four instructions that you would come up with? Now, that those aged women, they really need to be taught about slander and about not drinking too much and about being teachers of good things. And do Paul's instructions to Titus for this particular demographic strike you as relevant to what we see in society today, and more specifically in churches today? If you are in this category, if you are one of our beloved senior ladies, how does this list sound to you? Do you think these are particular areas of need? And the second reason why I think this is a really interesting verse is because it contains three Greek words that don't occur anywhere else in the New Testament. One of them doesn't occur anywhere else in Greek literature. It appears that Paul may have invented it for this very context. So for a Bible teacher, this is pretty cool. The three words are the one translated behavior, the one translated becometh holiness, and the one translated teachers of good things. Kalodidaskalos, and that's the one that Paul probably coined. Now, all I'm going to do in this study tonight is explain each of these four things that are to characterize Christian women in their senior years and make some application to our circumstances today. It's going to be a very simple message, and I hope it's an encouragement to you. And maybe there are some things here that you need to be reminded of. The first thing Paul says in reference to the aged women, and really what is to mark this group in general, is behavior as becometh holiness. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. The Greek word translated as becometh holiness literally refers to conduct that is appropriate in a temple. That's why many English versions have the word reverent in this verse, you know, reverent behavior, or behavior that is reverent. Now, I don't think this is the idea of being quiet and reserved as one might be in a beautiful church building. The picture is not that of an older woman who never laughs and is always super serious. This is not the image of a medieval saint who spends all her time praying and contemplating the mysteries of God. No. I think we're helped in our understanding of this idea by a couple of authors who say the Greek Christians would have understood Paul to be saying that a mature Christian woman should demonstrate the holiness of a heart that is near to God. And to be in a temple was to draw close to the deity whose temple it was. Now, for Christians, their bodies are that temple. The living, breathing church is that temple. That's the marvelous reality of the new covenant. But although God dwells with us so personally, we still need to draw near to him, to pursue a relationship with him, and our behavior will demonstrate if we are. Our outward life is indicative of our inward life, of whether we're walking with the Lord. And the apostle charges Titus to speak on this wise, particularly to the older women. Tell them that their outward life, their behavior, ought to reveal a close walk with Jesus Christ. Now, I think we know this quality when we see it. We know when we're in the presence of a person who walks with the Lord, especially an older person, we think to ourselves, he is a spiritual man. She is a spiritual woman. She has wisdom. She has the joy of the Lord. She is a mature Christian. There is an appropriateness about their behavior. There is sensibleness about them. There is self-control. There is care and concern for others. There is graciousness in their words and integrity in their conduct. This is behaviour that becometh holiness. This is a reverent way of life, a life that is obviously close to the Lord. Now, I don't think it's at all surprising that Paul goes immediately from this point to talk about the tongue. Okay, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12. Our speech, our communication is usually a fairly good indicator of our inner life, of our walk with the Lord, whether we're drawing near to him or not. It's also where outwardly we tend to fail the most. It's in our communication that we're most likely not to exhibit behaviour that becometh holiness. And the Bible talks about how hard it is to tame our tongue. To be able to do that, to have control in the area of our communication, is almost the preeminent mark of Christian maturity. James chapter 3 verse 2, "For in many things we offend all, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, a mature man, and able also to bridle the whole body." And so we come to the second thing that Titus was to teach the aged women. Verse 3, "The aged women likewise, that they be, number one, in behaviour as becometh holiness. Number two, not false accusers." Even if you've never studied New Testament Greek, you've probably heard the Greek word that Paul uses here. It's the word diabolos. It's a word that appears 38 times in the New Testament. And on 34 of those 38 occasions, it refers to the devil. This is a name or a title given to Satan. So this is satanic speech, satanic communication. Think about that next time you're tempted to repeat something slanderous. Think about that next time you're tempted to post something on social media about someone else that isn't quite true and that will hurt them. Now think about that next time you're tempted to put a spin on something to make a person look bad. If you do that, you will resemble the devil. Okay, that is satanic behavior, not Christian behavior. The devil is a slanderer, a false accuser. We see that from the very beginning. He accused God of being less than generous to Adam and Eve. He endeavoured to paint God in a bad light, as if God was selfishly holding out on Adam and Eve. God knows that if you eat the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. The subtext was, God doesn't want you to have that knowledge. God wants that only for himself. He's kept that from you. He's really not so good at all. It was slander by insinuation. A slander, malicious gossip, is not to be found in the Christian community. None of us, should engage in this wicked sin. But the question that arises at this point is, why does Paul single out the aged women in this regard, in this section where he is addressing specific demographics in the church? Why did he want Titus to teach the senior ladies in particular about this? You know, we all struggle to tame our tongues. So why address this group in the church? Was it the case that the older women in the churches on Crete had a particular problem with this? Was a slander coming from the mouths of the senior ladies a major issue that needed to be addressed? Now in chapter 1 verse 14, Paul affirms that the Cretans as a people were notorious for being liars. So perhaps that was the case. Perhaps this was an especially Cretan problem. But maybe it wasn't. Are older women particularly vulnerable to this because if they've been stay-at-home mothers and the children are now grown up and gone, they have more disposable time. And with that time comes the temptation to get involved in other people's business. Does this have to do with women sometimes being more connected and sociable than men are and so more susceptible to engaging in gossip and slander? I don't know, and I want to be careful not to perpetuate what might well be cultural stereotypes that tend towards sexism. So I'll let you come to your own conclusions about that. But whatever the case, the message in the text is clear and direct. And if you fit into this demographic, then the appropriate response is to think about your communication, to think about what you say when you're with other people, to think about what you share online, to think about what you post on your Facebook page. Are you careful about what you repeat? Are you careful about how you speak about other people? Now, when you get together with your friends, do you slice and dice individuals in your family or in the church family that you don't agree with, individuals that might have upset you? A mark of maturity is a mouth that doesn't slander, that doesn't gossip. To my dear older sisters, I hope this is your mouth. The third message that Titus was to teach the older women had to do with the consumption of alcohol. Look please again at verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be, number one, in behaviour as becometh holiness. Number two, not false accusers. Number three, not given to much wine. Our King James translation doesn't quite express the sense of what Paul was talking about here. The Greek word translated given is the word that refers to a slave. Paul is talking about being enslaved to much wine. We would call this today being dependent on alcohol or having a drinking problem. They knew in Paul's day, just as we know today, that alcohol is a very addictive substance. Today, there are tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of people around the world who are addicted to alcohol. People who regularly consume more than the medical profession says is safe to consume. When it comes to people in Australia seeking treatment for drug addiction, alcohol is the number one drug. In 35% of drug treatment episodes in 2017-18, alcohol was the primary drug of concern, making it the most commonly treated drug in Australia. And I think we're all familiar with the terrible effects that alcohol abuse has. I won't go into that this evening. Now, we know there was a pervasive drinking culture in the Greco-Roman world. There was even a god of wine who was worshipped, Dionysus to the Greeks, Bacchus to the Romans. And we have this expression in English, a bacchanalia. It refers to a drunken party where all kinds of immorality occur. And this concept has its roots in the worship of Bacchus. And there was a drinking culture in the Greco-Roman world, and perhaps it was especially strong in Crete, where Titus was ministering. One scholar notes that epitaphs have been discovered on Crete, and in the epitaph, heavy drinking is viewed as a virtue. And perhaps there was a particular problem amongst the older women. Maybe there were certain social conditions that made it very important that Titus address this issue with this specific segment of the church. I think this warning is actually very appropriate for today. Did you know that the abuse of alcohol is more of a problem for older women than younger women? And we tend to think that it's young people who drink too much. It's young people who get caught up in the party scene and end up with a drinking problem. But actually, alcohol is more of a problem for older women. This is from the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare. Among females, those aged in their 50s are now the most likely to drink at levels that exceed the National Health and Medical Research Council lifetime risk guidelines by drinking on average more than 2 standard drinks per day. This trend is seen in other academic studies. It seems as though women in general are drinking more than they have in the past, and especially middle-aged and older women. And there is a warning here in our verse for you, my older sisters, about your relationship with alcohol. And I think there is a warning for all of us. Wherever you come down on the issue of the beverage use of alcohol, the Bible is very clear that drunkenness is a sin. We are to be people who are filled with the Spirit, not under the influence of alcohol or any intoxicating substance. We are the servants of Christ, not in bondage to the bottle. The Bible is also very clear about the dangers of alcohol. It's spelled out in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, and Proverbs chapter 23, verses 29 to 35. And so we need to make wise choices in this area. Wise choices for ourselves and for our children. That brings us then to the final word that Titus was to impress upon the aged women. Let's look once more at our text, Titus chapter 2, verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be, number one, in behavior as becometh holiness, number two, not false accusers, number three, not given to much wine, number four, teachers of good things. Now I'm going to talk about this in more detail in our next study, because Paul mentions this in the context of the church, and in reference to the way that two groups in the church should be interacting with each other. The older women are to be teaching the younger women. There is to be a relationship between the generations, a close relationship. And I wonder whether it exists in churches today, or if it exists as the Bible envisions it. Do we have these kind of relationships in our own church family? That's something to think about. Now, I'm going to explore this in more detail in our next study, so look out for that. But for now, in reference to my older sisters, this is what the Lord wants for you, to be a teacher. And not a teacher of unhelpful things, not a critic, not a poor example, but a teacher of good things. Have you ever considered that this is your responsibility? That this is the role that God wants you to play in the body of Christ? Now, you have something to offer, something to give that others need. It's easy for all of us to get caught up with our own lives, with our own problems and our own pursuits, and forget about others. others in the body who have needs that the Lord has equipped us to meet. I would encourage all of us, and especially the seniors, to think about this. Think about what you can do to help someone. What you can contribute to meet a need. Think of a specific need, a specific situation, a specific person, and then do it. Even if it's as simple as a phone call and a word of encouragement, or a card in the mail, or cooking a meal, or giving them a few dollars, just go ahead and do it. And so, we have a word to seniors, to the aged men and to the aged women. As I said last week, I love our seniors very much. I'm glad our church family is blessed with a healthy representation of this demographic. And I hope you will take heed to what God says in these two verses in the book of Titus. I hope you'll take these words to heart and continue to grow in grace and in likeness to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.